Welcome back to Change Ed.
Changed.
Your absolutely, positively, without any questions, favorite podcast by educators for educators. We are here at PTC, specifically at the STEM Summit. You can hear lots of fun background noise because it is bumping in here. There's a lot going on and a lot happening. We have a special guest with us here. As we always do, we always have special guests. Every guest is special, but this guest is the specialist because I think we found a replacement for Tony. My name is Andrew Kuhn. I am an education consultant for Montgomery County Intermediate Unit, and here with me always...
Patrice Semichek, an educational consultant from the Montgomery County Intermediate Unit.
Why don't you toss it to Tony?
Oh, and Tony.
Yep, Tony Marabito, Marvin Lehigh Intermediate Unit.
I'm so used to you telling me that I'm not allowed to do things. So.
Oh my gosh.
I'd like to share quickly that my mom texted me the other day and just made sure I was okay because of the bullying that occurs. just thanks, Mom. Love you.
Mental health, it matters.
I stuck up for myself in between sessions today. Thanks.
Now, is that bullying that happens at your IU? What are you talking about?
No, you.
Oh,
trying to get me fired off the podcast.
Every time.
Is this an intervention?
Listen, if I'm a good replacement, I'm a good replacement. I don't have to tell you.
Yeah. You're also going to have really thick skin because he likes to give it really.
You know what? I do. It takes a lot to offend me. You can try. It's okay. Not going to work.
Oh.
It doesn't
that
take
is
much
a
to offend
me. One of my favorite people, Katie Kelly. Welcome. We're glad to have you.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Katie, if you don't mind taking a moment and just introduce yourself. I know you're from the Schuylkill Intermediate Unit.
Correct.
29,
the last. Save the best for last.
And what is your job that you do there, your title? Because we know education, all educators have multiple jobs, but what is it that you do at the Schuylkill Intermediate Unit number 29?
Sure. So I am my fancy title is the supervisor of STEM, which is...
Another supervisor.
Yeah. We are getting gypped with no supervisor.
Maybe it really is my replacement.
Yeah.
I know. It sounds even fancier. Yeah. So just a fancy way to say STEM educational consultant, but at IU 29, we're pretty small, so I am the only one. So I do the computer science, the environmental ed, the steels, maker spaces, anything science or STEM related is me, which is a lot, but it's also really fun because I like every aspect of science. So I would hate to give one of the pieces up. Mm-hmm. So I like that I get to dabble. Previous to this, I was a middle school science teacher. So my background is science. So I'm pretty happy with doing it all.
Maybe you're overqualified to be a podcast host, I think.
Ooh.
Well, it sounds like she probably doesn't have enough time either, with all the initiatives.
Fair. I don't know. I feel like I could squeeze it in.
Well, okay. She's busy supervising herself.
I don't know why I'm fighting for this.
Down. It'd be nice to have another feminine voice on here once in a while.
Yeah.
Bring switch in and out.
All right, deal.
We toggle on and off. Yeah.
Deal.
Can we practice you saying changed after I say change Ed? Change Ed.
Changed.
Oh, my gosh.
She even does that better than me.
Nailed it.
Solid. All right. Katie, so... Like I mentioned, we're here at the STEM Summit at PTC, and you actually gave a presentation. Your presentation was called Sphero-Savvy, Rolling Through Learning. And I wonder if you could tell us more about that. Is there a play on words there? Are we we're actually rolling through learning, or is that the Sphero that's rolling? Is it rolling over? What's happening?
Sure. You may or may not know this, but a title brought to you by ChatGPT. We wanted a cool title, instead of just cross-curricular spheros. Mm-hmm. We went to ChatGPT. So it is a little play on words. We want to roll through learning, meaning lots of kids are learning. We're moving forward with education, but also spheros literally roll. So, So it was with spheros, which are the spherical robots that are out there, an educational product. They come with a free app, and we use those to teach computer science and other content area topics.
So I love that you went cross-curricular there, because I hate when I bring up in certain trainings with Sphero, well, I'm a ELA teacher, so I don't teach STEM, or I'm a math teacher, so I don't teach STEM. Well, so what do you say to those teachers, and how does Sphero kind of cross all boundaries?
Sure. So I think educational technologies is just a way for students to learn their real life skills. So if you have an ELA class or a math class or social studies, there are still skills that students need in those classes that they need in life in general. Mm-hmm. So the more ways that we can get these robotics or computer science topics or STEM topics into the classrooms, the better. So if you are an ELA teacher and you're doing sequencing of stories, well, when I code, I have to put my code in a specific sequence or it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So it's just a way to reiterate what you want your students to know already in a way that creates deeper thinking and also bridges them to other content areas as well.
These are really fun, dare I call it, like a backdoor learning that you're getting into this other, you're getting back to content area, but you're going through it a different way. And really, you know, when we think about it, a lot of times with marketing, with messaging, you need to get your word out there 5-6 different times in 5-6 different ways before it actually settles in, whatever that message is. What I love about this is you're actually doing the same thing, right? You're reinforcing that learning, but coming at it from a different direction. So it's not like, oh, here we go again, same thing. You're doing something different to engage learners and get them excited, and then reinforcing the learning.
Yeah, I think siloed learning and siloed content areas doesn't benefit anyone. Mm-hmm. It doesn't benefit our kids. It doesn't benefit, honestly, our teachers either, because it gets monotonous. Mm-hmm. So by increasing what we're doing in all the subject areas, having them all work together, it just reinforces the learning, but it also makes it new. It makes it exciting. It allows kids to see those real life connections, which is where that authentic learning comes from.
I know that you're super passionate about inclusivity and making sure that every kid is involved in what they're doing. And I kind of love Sphero or EdTech tools just because I think it levels the playing field. Students that aren't great at math or aren't great at reading can still have fun and participate in these kinds of things. So what really sticks out to you with Sphero and then your presentation or any other tool that you might be using?
So I have a lot of tax support, which is like a special ed consultant that works with me a lot. And we always talk about that if you give ed tech products out to kids and you walk into the classroom not knowing anything about the students, you cannot tell the difference in students. Mm-hmm. You don't know who's a high academic learner. You don't know who a low academic learner. Mm-hmm. It really levels the playing field because it's a different type of like learning activity. Mm-hmm. And it's something that kids have access to. In our world today, whether you like it or not, every single kid uses technology and they understand it more deeply than I do. I learn from kids all the time. They know way more than me. But by bringing them something that they feel more comfortable with, they're able to learn more and also be proud of what they're doing. It's one of my favorite things is seeing kids be confident and proud of what they can do and what they can show you. But it just levels the playing field. And also why I like it cross-curricularly as well is because if ELA, social studies, science, math, if they're all doing it, it's just more access for kids. So we're making sure we're getting every single kid involved instead of maybe just the kids that happen to take the STEM elective.
As a side note, Tony jumped in before me, but I wanted to say, you're saying really great things for the interview. We're very pleased, taking great notes here. And that when you were talking about breaking down silos, that's one thing that Tony actually went on air saying that we need to build more silos. He wanted more separation. And I appreciate your integrated mindset.
Thank you. I think it's glaringly obvious. I need to step in.
Wow.
My mom's gonna text me again.
I was
sure
right. about to say, get ready for a phone call from your mom because now you're getting it from two sides.
I like Tony too. I owe him a lot. He teaches me a lot. I'm sorry.
It's all good.
And I think I'll take a quick moment to say that there is a no loss of love here, that this is just, we're having fun and bantering, but we all really enjoy working together. And I think that's evident in the way that we can interact and tell Tony how important he is.
Thank you. I can take that part out so he still sounds like a jerk.
Yeah,
if you
please
want.
Do. Okay. That'd be great.
And there it is.
So during your Sphero Savvy rolling through learning, how did you kind of break these barriers of cross content and use math and ELA and all these subjects in your presentation?
Yeah. So we always start with a why. So we try and start them right off with their why. I think that's why teachers do it, is because they have a why in mind, whatever it might be. And usually when you get people in the room for a STEM or a STEM presentation, they already have a why. So I just like to add to that and like confirm like your reasoning is great. So we always start with the benefits of computer science and the benefits of STEM in every single area. But then what we did was we wanted to make it easy for the teachers. So we set up 4 different hands-on stations. So we had the teachers up and moving. I really like to model the PD that I do. So if I'm telling teachers to allow their students to work and explore, like I try and let the teachers work and explore. So we set up 4 stations, 1 for social studies, 1 for ELA, 1 for math, 1 for science. And we had a pretty basic activity. So our presentation was specifically for people who are just being introduced into Spheros. So 4 basic activities where they can see that the Sphero itself and computer science had a purpose in their content area. So for social studies, they did geography challenge cards, and we printed out pictures of each of the continents, and they had to answer a question. So it was a direct review of the geography that they might have been learning, but they had to code the Sphero to get to that place. ELA was storytelling. So if I were to do it as a teacher, I would want my students to write their own story, but we did the 3 Little Pigs, basic story that everybody knows, and they had to code their Sphero. So they had to think it through, critically think, read the story, and then code their Sphero in sequence to travel to the different story elements. And just an add-on, if they wanted to add a color or have Sphero say something, defend why that fits in that part of the story.
Nice.
For science, it was a kind of like a science math activity. It was linear relationships, time, speed, and distance. So basically they would have Sphero travel a certain amount of time and then see how that would change the distance that it traveled. And then if they adjusted the speed, they would see how that then change that the distance that it traveled to within that same time frame. And then math was area and perimeter. Mm. So they had to do a shape, area and perimeter. And Sphero has sensor data. So the students can measure on the ground at what they travel, or they can use the sensor data, which is pulled up in kind of like a piece of graph paper, and use it to measure how far it travels and to calculate the area or perimeter with that. So just simple ways that the teachers can see, like, hey, I'm not asking you to not do your content. I'm just asking you to integrate this into your content.
Yeah, very cool.
If I've never used a Sphero before, how do I start? How do I get my kids involved? Does your IU have a lending library, anything like that, that I can get teachers, get the tools in front of the teachers? Where would I start?
Sure. So first of all, if you are able to get your hands on Spheros, they do cost money. I run summer camps and I always have kids be like, I want these. Mm-hmm. And a Sphero Mini is pretty cheap on Amazon. Mm-hmm. You can buy one for not too much of a price. Mm-hmm. And it comes with the free app. So that's a simple way to get started. At IU29, we unfortunately don't have a lending library, but we do have a maker space that you can rent out time to come to it, or rent out it to come to you. And it comes with me, and I always feel like it's a plug.
Nice.
I do not get paid especially for it, but your rental fee does include me and activities with me. So I love to do that for teachers, and I love to kind of, like, you know, model, but also be like, hey, take a seat. Like, I got this. Like, take a break, like, watch and learn, participate with the kids. But we do offer that service. They can come to us at the makerspace or go out to them, but you can purchase them online as well. I know, like, SR Eames funds, I don't think they're around anymore, but you could use those to get them, but they are out there.
Katie, with your unique lens and view of education, what are some of the things that really stick out to you? I know you mentioned quality. I know you'd mentioned opportunities for all learners, but what else kind of sticks out to you to say, boy, we really have seen a lot of improvement or change in that in education?
Took me a second there. The name of the podcast.
So we did there.
So I could just tell you, and I think we still have a lot of room to grow, but I think we're working towards the growth of just science education in general. Mm-hmm. So I taught sixth grade, and it was in an elementary school at a really small district. And to no fault of their own, science wasn't being done a lot in the younger grades. And I know we also have elementary teachers that don't have big science backgrounds. Again, not right. their fault. So just seeing that we're now in a space where we're trying to change that is one of my favorite things. Science education is my thing. And I think every single student can benefit from it, whether they're going to be in a STEM career or science career or not. Mm-hmm. So something as simple as, like, being able to find evidence within a claim that you're reading, like, that's a life skill. We want to be able to look at a website and find the evidence to believe what we're reading on there. So I think just science education becoming more of a thing is really great.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you saying that. And with that is, I think there's this amazing educational tool that we have in the three dimensions of learning. So when you were talking about that, I was like, oh, you're talking about, you know, like cross-cutting concepts. We can all look at the same thing and say, okay, science isn't my thing, but I get patterns, or I know how to, you know, compare and contrast. Those are skills that we can do. And so by all working towards the same goal, which is not science content, it's, you know, these life skills that you had mentioned. I really appreciate that. It's very empowering.
Yeah, that's what I get the most reaction to. If I present to a group of, like, elementary teachers that might be very, like, ELA or math background, when I say those things like patterns, cause and effect, using evidence to support reasoning, like, that's when they light up and they shake their head and like, yeah, like, we do that. And I try and make those connections because, again, a lot of times it's thought of as siloed. Yeah. So not only are they seeing the connection, like, I can do this in my classroom, but I hope they're seeing the connection of life. Like, science is important for life, not just for, like, the biology keystone.
Well, we can't talk science without steals, right? So glad you're here. What's your take, and what have you seen when training? Because I know you train a bunch of teachers in your region. What's your take on the steals training? How are teachers receiving it? And are you seeing more and more excitement?
First, I don't know if I said this, I was in the classroom about 2 years ago, so I'm not too far out. And I like to push that out to teachers because, you know, change is never easy. Yeah. But I like to say, like, hey, I did this 2 years ago, and, like, I love these steals. I think the steals have a great purpose. And I like to open up with that, not saying it's going to be easy, but saying it is going to be beneficial. So every time I do steals at the IU, I've been seeing we're getting more and more people. We just ran a session for administrators and teacher leaders about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I was blown away by the excitement of the teachers.
That's cool.
Like, I was like, oh my gosh, like, it was, you know, it was a day and a half long. PD can be tiring. You're not sitting all day. They're up and moving, but it's a long 2 days. Yeah. And they were so excited. So I feel like, especially when they explore, the session had a lot of like teachers and admin exploring what the new teaching style is going to look like, those instructional shifts. So I think the more they explore and see it, it's hard to deny that it's going to be exciting to do with our kids, to see different kids shine in different areas and different skill sets. Like once they see it and access it, like they're so excited to turn around and take it back. So I think just getting past that little hump of like, oh no, like change
something
it,
new.
It's going to be, And I get it. I'm totally on board with that. But once they are opened up to it, they're so receptive and they're so interested. And I've always people saying like, can you come back to the school and do it for these teachers? Mm-hmm. Or like, I want to come back and do another session. Or can you do it for elementary teachers? And I think that's the best. Like the more people that hear it, the more excited they are and the more kids that benefit.
Katie, as a final part of your interview, I'm going to give you the most rarestest of opportunities, which is I'm going to give you the actual final word. What are your final thoughts?
Wrap it all up.
In the 7 million episodes we've recorded this week, heard Andrew say they're going to actually let someone else have the final word.
I think
this
I'm getting
huge.
The job.
Can I go call my mom real quick?
But then I listen to the podcast and you cut out my final word and then I'm going to be upset.
No, we won't cut it out. But he'll end up saying something at the end.
Just a minute of silence. That will be the final word.
She said nothing for it. All right, is that my time?
Yeah.
Okay, can I make it like a two-parter?
Oh, yeah. Please.
Okay.
Make me look even worse.
He's never given Tony the opportunity. Never. So I don't feel like it's a very fair interview without Tony having one. But it's okay.
America, if you want me to be the podcast host, let us know.
South Dakota strong Tony fans.
Hashtag Tony's out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so my pitch would be out to administrators and to teachers and just say, don't be afraid to try something new. We do not have to be the experts. And I think sometimes as educators, we feel we do. I can't do this new teaching style if I'm not super versed on the biology behind it, or I can't do this robotic product if I haven't, you know, done 100 different lessons and learning lessons. And I think we just need to be, we need to model that learning process for our kids and be afraid to learn something new, show that we made a mistake, and show how to fail forward. Fail forward is one of my favorite phrases. Mm-hmm. So you do something wrong, it didn't work out, but you move forward and you learn from your mistakes. I always say to kids, If we were born knowing everything, we would never learn anything. And how sad of a world would it be if we never got to learn something new? We learned because we didn't know and we did it wrong the first time. Mm. So don't be afraid to try something new and don't be afraid to fail and then move forward from it.
Katie, mic drop. Okay. Thank you for coming in today.
Did you have the last word?
I didn't. I knew it.
We'll call you. Don't call us.
It's not looking good.
On behalf of the entire Change Ed team, Tony, we'd like to take us out. Go ahead, T-Dog. Do you want to see what I wrote down as my words?
Can you read that?
Help every student shine. If that's what you've been working on the last half hour.
Well, I also drew a picture over here. You didn't tell me about that.
I would say fail forward and don't be afraid to make mistakes.